Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English, third year, fifth semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline-specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss block 3, intersectionalities. In this block, we will talk about unit 7 with the title Difference as a Critical Category. Today, we will discuss about the concepts of critical categories and difference. We will talk about the breadth of difference in women's literature and movements. Before we delve into it in detail, let us first understand the terms criticality and category. Criticality is the ability to understand a particular situation based on gathering information, analyzing aspects of this thought, evaluating its outcomes, and forming meaning in a particular scenario. Category comprises a division that organizes ideas about knowledge. Critical category does not have a stable or fixed structure but is constantly changing. In the discipline of social sciences, social construction is the reasoning of a continuously critical stance towards established knowledge. Therefore, critical categories encourage individuals to challenge objectivity in their perception. Social constructionist theory also argues that the categories of the world are historically and culturally situated. This knowledge is coded and decoded through interactions between humans and their power relationships, which in turn regulates a standard or a normal for the society. In Pride and Prejudice, which was published in 1813 and was written by Jane Austen, the social construction of hierarchy is evident in the class difference of the Bennet family with other groups that attend an invitation to a ball. The mother of the family, Mrs. Bennet, talks of the fortunate positions of the family if the older daughters were married off to wealthy families. One can see that Austen was bringing in gender normativity within the social construction of class. Austen's novels capture the spirit of independence in her central female characters, whose self-dignity, pride in their education or their critical thought and their toughness to stand against societal pressures in the early 19th century in rural England sets them as feminists. The late 20th century intellectual movement of postmodernism challenged the normative in the disciplines of art and architecture, and also literature and cultural studies too. Postmodernism rejected the notion of modernism, which awaited the discovery of an underlying structure in a work that will enhance a work's value. Therefore, this theory underlies the fragmentation of narration, multiple perspectives into a story, and a rejection of any universality. So postmodernism said there is no universal truth, and they rejected grand narratives. The common feature of critical categories, social constructionism, postmodernism and post-structuralism, is to display an understanding of the world founded on common principles, also known as grand theories or meta-narrative, and to question the stability of this narrative. Critical categories are built on culture, language, discourse and knowledge, which form the social world around us. Just as social construction is organized around ideas, theories and beliefs, it is also organized around the economy, society, politics, gender, class, caste, religion, age, among other things. Difference in women's writing exists because of the existence of multiple social constructions. During the second wave of feminism, philosopher Julia Kristeva questions the meaning of difference, the word difference, and concludes that it is through varied representation of oneself that difference is established. This representation is through the use of language that has symbolized much more than its literal sense. In the case of gender, Who is a good woman or a moral woman? Is it one who follows all the dictums and rules of the society, religion and patriarchs? What images of womanhood become subverted when all women do not follow the same orderly laws? These are some questions that she posed. Psychoanalyst and philosopher Luz Irigaray extracted the points of difference away from the repository of philosophy and brought it to the forefront of the feminist movement. Irigaray critically examined the concept of difference in the works of the French psychoanalyst Jacques Lacan. Lacan reworked the ideas of the Austrian psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud. Freud's theories challenged the concepts of sex and gender that existed in psychology in his time. Lacan studied these two categories as a set of societal expectations assigned to each biological sex, male and the female. Freud proposed that before social differences are implemented across the biological category, there exists a mental recognition of every individual who forms self-reflection of their bodies and their differences first, and then makes the decision of their gender category before society imposes its viewpoints on their bodies. This mental recognition was categorized as different for both biological sexes, male and female, and each child's views and identity of themselves were different as per family dynamics too. However, Freud was criticized for his stance because of how he indicated that the meaning of women's social roles were fulfilled through becoming the object of desire for men. So their social roles were defined through men. So this is the stance that was severely criticized. Women's writing has given to and also taken ideas from feminist theory that difference is no reason for subjugation, othering or exclusion. Instead, difference is an arrangement of political and hierarchical frameworks which can be viewed critically. Therefore, difference must continue to remain in spaces where it is anti-essentialist, but also does not reduce lived experiences of gender, race, class, caste, or other divisions as arbitrary. By studying meaning that is observed from experience from a first person point of view or phenomenology in philosophy. This particular concept is called phenomenology. Each critical category of difference is differentiated by how objects, emotions, events, time, oneself and others are observed in the world from a first person point of view. One of the greatest influences in literature on the study of phenomenology and philosophy's changing the conversation around women was found in The Second Sex, which was published in 1949 and was written by the French writer, philosopher and activist Simone de Beauvoir. Simone de Beauvoir exposes how sexual difference created a system of inequality, but also emphasizes the existence of an equal, though not the same, dynamic among men and women. She questions criteria of what makes a woman the weaker sex, and thereby breaks down cultural frameworks that restrict women's bodies that characterize them as feminine and the social construction. So her oftenly quoted line, "One is not born but becomes a woman," helped to articulate the oppression that women were experiencing. Now let's talk about the term intersectionality. In 1982, Gloria T. Hull, Patricia Bell Scott and Barbara Smith wrote, "All the women are white, all the blacks are men, but some of us are brave." It's a very interesting title, which criticized feminism's blanket use of the word woman that identified all women facing an equal measure of oppression. We've talked about this a little bit in a little detail in the previous units. While we all agree that all women were subjugated, all women were not allowed to go out of the domestic sphere, within women as a category, there are different types. Again, not all women go through the same amount of struggle. Not all women even go through the same type of struggle. So that's the point that they're trying to make here. They argued that there are other forms of oppression of women that problematizes the shared experience of women of America. It's not all shared. So everybody doesn't share the same amount of experience or the same kind of experience. The third wave feminist movement called for the inclusion of multiple voices from different perspectives and inclusivity of diversity within the movement. At this moment, feminism worked intently with cultural and media representations of women's subjectivity and located their critical concerns in the framework of intersectionality. The term intersectionality was coined by the American race theorist and lawyer Kimberly Crenshaw in 1989. This concept is identification that different systems of oppression work together against the marginalized and are transformed at the crossroads or intersection in unequal power relations. The different issues that the black and indigenous women of US discussed were different from their counterparts in other parts of the world like UK and Australia. The diversity of women's writing has spanned many disciplines. Gender has added valuable perspectives of gender inclusion and diversity in all walks of life. Women's writing has located violence in structures that make women, the poor, differently abled, trans people, and queer persons excluded. Irigaray questioned the essence of women that define their body first and aside to make an other which has the characteristics of the subordinate feminine behavior and roles which then shaped identity politics, control of reproductive autonomy, and other conceptualizations of the body. Women writers commonly ask, where are the women? And offer a critical theory of difference while studying about the feminization of labor, the connections between nationalism and masculinity, the interplay of genders in public and private spaces, as well as gender roles in language represented in cultural practices. In Monica Ali's Brick Lane, which was published in 2003, these aspects are found in the life of the central character Nazneen, who has moved from Bangladesh to London after her marriage. The novel depicts the menial work by the migrant women in the Bangladeshi immigrant neighborhood in London city called Brick Lane and the parallel low-wage labor that her sister does in Bangladesh by working in a factory. Nazneen's relationship with her husband and lover helps her see the connections between masculinity and the nation. At the end of the book, after Nazneen refuses to return to Bangladesh with her husband, she is joined by her friend Razia Iqbal, and they established a sewing business, thus moving their private domestic spheres to the public space for work and sustenance. So she breaks that wall of domestic sphere and then enters successfully into the public sphere. Feminist theorization continually deals with identifying differences that cut across different categories and which pertain to women's lives and the multiple oppressions they face. In the Eurocentric writings of authors of the West, while declaring solidarity of sisterhood across the globe, they were criticized for having a constant imperialistic lens on women who belong to geographical locations like Asia, Africa, and Middle East. Women in these geographies were assumed to be involved in a unified global and homogenized struggle concerning their gendered experience, without critically distinguishing differences across nations or across time. Post-colonial criticism primarily questioned the colonizer's narrative of the colonized people in a post-colonial space. So like we've discussed earlier, these women were talking as if everybody in the world, all the women in the world shared a common struggle or shared common experiences. What they were not considering is a woman, for example, who is living in the US or UK has different kind of struggle than a woman who is living in Asia or Africa or any of the colonized countries. Nigerian author Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart, Palestinian American Edward Said's Orientalism, West Indian Franz Fanon's Black Skin, White Masks, Mahashweta Devi's Breast Stories, Homi Bhabha's The Location of Culture, or Arundhati Roy's The God of Small Things, and Gayatri Chakraborty Spivak's essay, Can the Subaltern Speak?, are some of the literary and critical texts that have been expanded the field of post-colonialism. Now let's talk a little bit about the difference in the feminist movements. History records male social reformers in the 19th century battling against women-centric atrocities such as male infanticide, sati, ostracization of women in public life, begging and prostitution by destitute women. These reforms were influenced by Western liberal democratic ideologies under the approval of British officials. As a result, Britishers also introduced legal reforms and established resources like shelter homes, educational institutions, and training centers for women, which brought forth the first generation of teachers, skilled workers, and nurses. After several decades, these social reforms began as non-violent means of revolution under the leadership of, as we all know, Mahatma Gandhi. Moreover, several highly qualified women also joined educational centers and made contribution in private and public sector industries. The others turned into intelligent homemakers, strongly determined to ensure education for their daughters. Women's empowerment began historically as a lived phenomena, while women continued fighting for their rights and has now become globally termed as feminism. It comprises several social, political, and cultural movements, moral ideals, and theories revolving around gender discrimination and inequality. Feminism seeks equality between the two dominating genders, male and female, without a trace of discrimination on any grounds. Another instance pivotal in Indian women's movement was Sati, or the self-immolation of the 18-year-old Roop Kanwar from Rajasthan, who burned herself to death on her husband's funeral pyre in Rajasthan. The incident took place in 1987. After her death, the state government introduced an ordinance on October 1, 1987 in order to completely cease Sati and its glorification. This ordinance was later known as the Sati Prevention Act, which defined the abhorrent practice as the burning or burying alive of any widow along with the body of her deceased husband or with any article, object or thing associated with the husband, irrespective of whether such burning or burying is voluntary on the part of the widow or otherwise. Now, such occurrences validate the patterns of change and difference witnessed during the constant battle for women's rights and empowerment across generations. Moreover, it also reflects upon literature, both Indian and Western, that women represent themselves in the diverse communities that existed around them with their respective ideologies and struggles. Women's concerns in literature and feminist literary movements have also changed over time, owing to the distinctions and developments in ideologies, thought processes, and how women have been treated. There is a stark difference between how women represent themselves and other women in their writings in the present times and several decades ago. English authors of the 19th century like Emily Bronte and Jane Austen focused on women's conflicts, emotions, tensions restricted within a sedentary lifestyle. Moreover, some of them wrote under pen names or pseudonyms to conceal their identity, as it was considered inappropriate or improper for them to pursue writing as a profession. Women's movements also have influenced Indian writers like Meena Kandasamy, Anita Desai and Kamala Das. Meena Kandasamy, an Indian poet, fiction writer and activist, focuses her writings on feminism and the anti-caste annihilation movement. Her works include The Gypsy Goddess and A Dalit Leader of Organic Protest, among others. Anita Desai's notable works comprise Cry, The Peacock and Fasting and Feasting. With strong women characters, her writings are very influential in feminist literature. Kamala Das wrote about controversial and provocative themes like sex, seduction, same-sex relationships, and repressions in a male-dominated society. Therefore, women's movements were a significant part of women's writing, as much as women's literature informed the women's movements. Now, let's quickly touch upon some notable feminists. Indian feminist critic Gayatri Chakraborty Spivak's essay, "Can the Subaltern Speak?" was a historic text that vehemently claimed that women speak, but their voices were muffled and silenced into the patterns of silencing. Spivak ended the essay with the exasperated, "The subaltern cannot speak." She clarifies later that women speak but are not heard. Spivak's translation of the Bengali feminist writer Mahashweta Devi's collection of three short stories in Breast Stories, published in 1997, provides a glimpse of the position of women in India. Difference in language and discourse is a concern in postcolonial feminism. Here, identities influence women's writing in specific locations and spaces. Trinidadian Canadian poet Dionne Brand meditates on the aspect of migration in her collection of poetry, No Language is Neutral, which was published in 1990. She writes in a way that shows her discomfort of using the colonizer oppressor's language to describe her colonized experience. Researchers have often observed that she uses multi-voiced discourses, which combines the standard English language with Caribbean literature and uses it as a hybrid method to discuss her experiences. Let us now quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. This unit has dealt with an understanding of category, critical category, and theories that formed the basis of women's writing and located difference as an important aspect of feminism. The concept of intersectionality has helped feminists to articulate the complexity of their struggle in their lived experiences and in writing. We also talked about the difference in various feminist movements and then mentioned a few notable feminist writers. With this, we come to the end of the Unit 7, Difference as a Critical Category. Thank you.